Okay, we're going to go through the sower and the seed, and we're going to explain the concept of the sower and the seed. You read it in chapter 13, okay, Matthew chapter 13. And it talks about the sower and the seed. It says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples came and said unto him, "Why speak thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God," or the kingdom of heaven, "but unto them it is not given." Why? Because they don't have ears to hear and eyes to see. They don't have spiritual perception. So I want to explain to you about the sower and seed, because I know that you have spiritual perception. So this is how it works, is that you prepare the ground, then you put the seed in it, and you're going to have a greater return. If the ground is crummy and all hard and stony, you get the stones out so that the seed, when it goes in the ground, the roots go down, don't hit the stone, and then it stunts the growth. And then when the sun comes out, it shrivels up because it can't handle it. You take the stones out, and the roots of the plant can go down. You get rid of all the thorn seeds out of the ground, so that when the plant's established and it's growing, the cares and the riches of this world and the cares of this life choke the seed. We don't want that to happen either. So we get rid of all the stones and all the thorn seeds, so that when we plant the seed in the ground, it actually grows and brings forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. So how do you apply that to a person's life? Well, if a person is got a ministry, or they're walking in the Lord, trying to work for the Lord, and they don't know anything, they don't know any scriptures, they don't understand the Word of God, and when they speak, there's no anointing in it, there's no teaching, it's not coming from the Holy Spirit, then who would want to plant into that field where it's just natural man's wisdom mixed with God's wisdom, which brings forth death? Instead, you look for those who God is using, who are partnering with God, who are partnering with the transformation of their souls, so that God can clean their ground up, so that he can plant the word of God in them, the seed in their heart, and it isn't mixed with tares. So that they go forth, and when they speak the oracles of God. They give the full counsel of God. They don't give twisted verses and twisted scriptures, so that they misrepresent the word of God. And there's an anointing over it. There's a power. There's power that comes with the word to bring forth faith and to bring forth life. That's the ground that you need to plant in. So, you know, I'm doing an advert for myself. Don and I, we sat down for 7 years and we prayed for hours and hours and hours every day. Some three, and probably no less than 3 hours a day, and some 6 and 7 hours a day. Every day, day in, week in, month in, year in, we did that so that we could plow the ground. I call it plowing the field. We plowed our field up and down, and the plow pulled up all the stones. We gathered them and we threw them over to the side. We plowed the field and all the thorn seeds came to the top. We gathered them and we burnt them, and then we had a really good field, and God could plant his seed in there, his word, and it wasn't corrupt. So we were able to give people the word of God without corruption, and then they were able to be fed, because the word of God is like a hammer. The word of God is like a river. The word of God brings life, and the word of the enemy, or corrupted word, brings death and mayhem in your life. So we have plowed our field for years so that we were able to minister to people without corruption. And, you know, we'll be plowing our field for the rest of our lives. Because as we go down different levels of the ground, we plant bigger plants that need much more water and need deeper roots. So we have to keep plowing or keep going and taking those things that are going to hinder the growth in ourselves, so that we can bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that we can minister unto people. And you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the mustard seed's the smallest, but when it grows, it becomes the biggest bush or the biggest tree in a garden. It's not talking about a forest tree. It's talking about a normal standard tree. A mustard seed doesn't grow into a massive a cedar. It grows into a normal tree that you would have in your garden. So, and it becomes the best, and from the tiniest. So God says, doesn't matter how bad or how corrupted your ground is, doesn't matter how many stones and thorn seeds you've got in your ground, if you keep plowing by sitting down and praying in the Spirit and have the Holy Ghost find all of the incorruption in your life, you can go forth and end up with a ground that you can bring forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. It's a principle. And then you can operate from your overflow. So that's how we operate. So what we've got if you read The Sower and the Seed, that's all about, you know, everything has to bring forth of its own kind. So if you've got nothing else in your garden, everything that's going to come forth is going to be the Word of God. It's going to be uncorruptible seed. You know, we'll go back to 2 Corinthians, and we'll just go through it quickly. But it says here, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He disrobed himself, stepped into humanity, blessed us, stepped back into his deity as the second member of the Godhead, and now operates as fully man and fully God. And he is king of both realms, king of heaven and king of the earth, or the world. Right? He owns everything. And everything of the Father that the Father created through him, which was every molecule in the whole of the universe, has been handed to him, right, to bring people unto himself. All of the universe was created for God's good pleasure, but we are the center of his good pleasure. So Jesus, he didn't step out of his deity as the second member of the Godhead, as the Word of God, who's with God before the foundation of the earth, who was God. He wasn't created. Jesus was not created. He was God. He's part of the Godhead. He's second member of the Godhead. He was the Word. Then he was made flesh. And he won all of these things, not for rocks and for trees, right, for clouds and for other planets. He won these things for us so that we would know the Father. That's the great blessing that we have in Jesus. And he didn't just win spiritual, he won natural resources for us as well, because he owns everything. We used to sing a song, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? And the wealth in every mine, okay? He owns the rocks and things, and da-da-da. And he wants to share them with us, not so that we can heap to ourselves riches upon riches, so that we can be financially viable, so that we can preach the gospel effectively. You know, if you read the book of James, okay, if you read the book of James, he's basically, if you read it from the premises that he's talking to people who are prospering, and he's saying to them, listen, don't use your wealth to feather your own nest and to build bigger houses. He's saying, help those who are in need. He said, go to you rich, and how, for your riches are corrupt. He says, don't go into a town and say, let us buy and sell, but if the Lord willing would do these things. Get into the will of God, and even though you are financially viable and you're doing well, he's saying to them, use your wealth to benefit the kingdom of God and not yourselves. That's what That's the basic concept of wealth. Using your resources. Now, it could be financial resources. It could be intelligence and abilities to do things. You might be really good at organizing things. And you can wrap that organizing ability in the anointing and become a great organizer for the kingdom of God. You might be a very bold person. You can wrap that boldness in the anointing and go and preach the gospel with boldness, with the power of the anointing behind you. You might be a really good singer. You can get that ability, God-given ability, God-given talent, wrap it in the anointing, and you can go and sing songs that are anointed that will touch people's hearts through the Holy Spirit, because God is partnering with you. Now, unfortunately, Elvis Presley, according to certain certain sources, he was spirit-filled. He went to a Pentecostal church when he was younger. And but he had a God-given ability to sing really well. But he used it to feather his own nest and to buy himself houses and Cadillacs and everything else. And he didn't use it. He didn't get it wrapped in the anointing. The enemy got him and utilized that resource for himself rather than for the kingdom of God. So the resources that you have, what are you going to use them for? The kingdom of God or for your own self? Are you going to heap riches up? And are you going to weep and howl, you rich? And for, you know, God is going to bring judgment on the earth. You know, we talk about sowing riches into the kingdom of God. You can do it in many ways. Wrapping your abilities that God has given you in the anointing, going forth and doing those things, is benefiting the kingdom of God. So the only way you can do that is to sit down, pray in tongues, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, plowing your field, getting rid of all the thorns and the stones underneath that are going to hinder the growth of your seed and your ability. And then you'll be victorious. That's the only way to go. Now, when it comes to supporting our ministry, when you sow into our life, right, into our well-plowed field, then we're going to bring forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. You're going to get it. You're going to receive that by your seed you've planted into our ministry. Because you have planted natural things, you're going to receive natural and spiritual things. We know that spiritual is above natural. So you're going to receive spiritual wisdom and understanding, and then you're going to go and you're going to utilize that and benefit your life and others. That's how it works. You get the beam out of your own eye, then you can get the little speck out of everybody else's eye. So that's what we're asking you to do, is to minister with us, right, of your seed, so that we can minister to others. And as we all go together forward in the kingdom of God, we all get the benefit. We all work together. And we all receive a portion of the reward that is given to us when Jesus comes back. It's a portional thing. There's no heroes in the kingdom of God except for Jesus. We're all workers for the kingdom of God, for the glory of Jesus, and for the saving of people's souls. That's all. You know, that is the greatest riches. That's the gold and the silver are the souls of the lost. That's the riches. That is the true riches, is the souls of the lost. They are the true value of the earth. God's not so much interested in gold, silver, and nice fine furniture and all beautiful houses. He's interested in the souls of unredeemed men and women. They're his greatest riches. And if you pour your resources, your natural resources, and partner with God, then you're going to go after the greatest riches of the kingdom of God, which are the souls of men and women. So we'll just leave that there.